From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Nikolai Rotchev.
And I'm Tim Mishak.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Microsoft and inside Windows. So we've got these guys here from the debugging team, Tim and Nick, talking about the new WinDBG, the new Windows debugger version, replacing the old version. We've got another video just kind of introducing it. You should go watch that first if you haven't seen it.
That's right.
But I think we're going to get a little bit more in-depth. Nick is going to show us some stuff, right?
Yeah, so we're going to go a little in-depth into some of the windows that we have and how they kind of interact with the data model. First of all, we already covered the recent targets. I just want to point out here that every debugging session that you make is saved as a recent target. So let's say that I want to launch something like Notepad, debug it right here. After you close this session, you will now see the recent target here. And for your convenience, you can also edit it in Notepad.
Now, if I connect to a remote, would that show up here as well?
Yes. So every single debugging session, as you start it, will be put here with certain arguments. Mm-hmm. And this is for your convenience. So you don't have to type the same thing over and over again, right?
Yeah, that's super convenient.
So you can right-click on any one of these. For example, let me use the one that I already set up. And you can see what it really is. It's just a regular XML file. Oh. There's nothing really that complicated about it. You can edit by hand if you want to.
Oh, okay.
So this is one of our design goals, is that we want people to be able to look at this file and actually, you know, manually edit stuff
if they
want to.
See what's going on underneath.
That's right.
Cool.
For more in-depth demos on some of the windows, let me launch this demo app right here. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to go over the locals window, the watch window. So we have sort of a regular demo app here that I'll just go to. And we can see we have nothing unusual here. There's a locals window with, some local arguments.
Got our source up there and set and breakpoint.
That's right.
It looks just about like the old WinDBG so far.
That's right. And we also, have a breakpoints window. So you can see all your breakpoints here.
Mm-hmm.
You could jump to them from here. Of course, you can remove them. So all the sort of manipulations that you used to with breakpoints.
Mm-hmm.
Are also available in that window and in the source.
Okay.
What I want to show you now is, with this data model that Tim and Andy talked about in our previous video, what you could do is you could put an expression here. Let's say, put this local right here, and since this rectangle is iterable, it's a vector. I could do sort of very standard link expressions. So, let's say I want to take the rectangles, and just take their left value. You can see the rectangle is a very simple structure.
Mm-hmm.
Has a left, right, top, bottom. So I want to select every element on the list and just project the left element. And you see some values right here. And this is very powerful because you can use sort of the standard C# link queries that you're already used to. You can also chain them. You can project the sequence, whatever you like. And you can do this here in the watch window where you have autocomplete. But the cool thing is, you can also bring up something new here, which we call a model window, which allows you to use the same view that you have here in the watch window. But you can also use a grid, for example. So I can pull up as a grid if this is more useful for you to represent the data. And the cool thing about this window and the watch window is that they will both be updated when any data model changes happen. So let's go through that very briefly. I think Tim will have a more detailed video on what the scripting actually looks like in depth with regards to the data model.
Yeah, we'll do a more detailed video about especially JavaScript scripting support because we have the new scripting window.
But for now, we're just going to show you a very, very simple script here. And what the script will do is it'll take this rectangle type.
Did you close the source window?
Let me see. Yeah, we don't actually need that. Okay. We take this rectangle type that's defined in our code. And what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to project this type in a different way. The details are not really important, what the Navis does. All this stuff is online on MSDN.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at the documentation.
Mm-hmm.
What this does is simply it says, instead of showing the native fields of the rectangle, left, top, bottom, right, just give me an item called area. And I also here have declared how this area is computed. And so the cool thing here is, let's say this model window that we have, it will update dynamically when the script executes. So if I execute this, suddenly this represents the area of the rectangles
now.
Because what I've said is the type no longer has left, top, right, and bottom. It has an area. So all our windows are hooked up into this data model, right?
Wow. So very powerful.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and so NavVis is one of the types of visualization extensions that we support. And this is one of the visualizations that's shared with Visual Studio. So you can use the same NavVis visualizations in Windbug as in Visual Studio. But you can also write them live while you're debugging here, which is really useful.
That's really neat.
We also support JavaScript for these extensions.
That's right.
Which has a lot more power than NavVis if you need to do something that's more complicated than just a simple visualization or simple math formula. But we'll go into more detail about JavaScript extensions. Actually, we already have a video about JavaScript extensions, but we'll have another video about JavaScript extensions specifically in the new Windows preview.
Cool.
Right. And, you know, we've added some sort of nice-to-have features in the breakpoints window and the source window. We have stuff, the usual stuff that you would like to see. For example, you can always take this element here and you could just add it to the watch window. If I want to close this one, right? So I already added one entry, I can do it from here.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is available in the command line. So if I do this rectangle query, I can always right-click on any of these elements and add them to the watch. So it's just a convenient feature for you, you know, if you want to interact with the different windows.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we should talk about the new features that we have in the command window. So one of the big things about creating the command window was rewriting it from scratch, first of all.
Yeah, that's right. We wanted to make sure the command window was incredibly fast.
Yeah.
There are folks that want to dump a huge amount of information
That's
out.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes, you know, the old Windbug couldn't keep up with a ton of text as well as, you know, just, you know, dumping a huge amount of information as well as a lot of the more formatting intensive things. Like if you want to view the items as a grid, we actually have the grid view in the command window. And so we do a lot better with that. Actually, why don't you show the dx-g on the rectangle.
So people who are familiar with DX will know that there's a G argument to display a grid right here, which is similar to what the model window does, except the model window is a non-console text output.
And this you can, you know, paste it out to
whatever you want.
Yeah, email you're sending or whatever.
Yep.
That's right. And pasting is actually a little bit better now in Windbug, in the Windbug preview. If you copy and paste this text into an email or into a Word document, we'll keep all your formatting in your monospace font.
Yeah.
So that's really useful when you're handing off some investigation or something, you know, over email.
I can't tell you how much time I've spent in my career at Microsoft pasting debugger output into emails and having to go in and change it to consoleus, you know, nine point. Like, I've done that a million times. So that is really neat that it's...
We're trying to do a lot of those little features that just make your life a little bit better.
Yeah, right. Very cool. Anything else we want to look at here?
I think we've covered most of the windows we want to talk
show,
about.
Look up on MSDN. I don't know if you've got a... Maybe see if we can search vector or something.
Yeah, so we can use the source window here, and there's a search on MSDN option.
Oh, very
right?
Nice.
So this will just bring a search query with whatever the cursor happened to be on. So in this case, we're actually on vector pushback.
And this works from any window?
This works from a source window. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's no reason not to enable another windows. Again, it's important to stress that a lot of these things are driven by feedback.
Right.
This one in particular, I believe someone requested it specifically.
Right on.
So if someone wants that feature anywhere else, hey, use the feedback hub.
Use the feedback hub, like so we were talking about in the first video. This is a work in progress. We want people to send us their feedback, and they can help design this, or at least help you guys design it.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. That's really cool. So again, new version of Windows Debugger, WinDebug, WinDBG. Check it out. It's on the store. You can download it. It auto updates. So as these guys are checking in new features, making bug fixes, you'll get them right away.
That's right.
So, yep.
Very nice. All right. Well, thanks for coming on, guys.
Thank you.
All right.